It was Advocate Tuli Madonsela's state of capture report in 2016, while she was still the public protector, that led to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry, where the country has seen bombshell after bombshell being dropped on the extent of the looting of state resources. Now, Advocate Madonsela, who has been described by former British ambassador to South Africa, Robin Renwick, as the person who saved South Africa, is now a professor of law, holding a chair in social justice at Stellenbosch University. Advocate Madonsela joins us this morning on the line. Thank you so much for your time. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, and thank you for the privilege of talking to the people, and good morning to the people.
Now, besides holding a chair in social justice at Stellenbosch University, what else have you been occupied with since you left the office of the public protector?
I've been doing three things. I'm a law professor, as you know. I teach law, constitutional law, and in the process of designing courses on democracy, social justice, and administrative investigations. I'm also part of the Foundation for Democracy, Leadership, and Literacy. It's called Tuma Foundation. And my main project is a Marshall Plan on social justice. It's a project that seeks to galvanize all South Africans and our friends globally to support a plan that systematically advances equality and eradicates poverty by 2030.
All right. Sounds very interesting and very important. Coming to the core issue that we are faced with in South Africa these days, and that is corruption, and especially corruption which leads to the looting of state resources. You laid the basis for the Commission of Inquiry, the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. What are your thoughts on how it is progressing so far? And is there a likelihood that you would be giving evidence at this Commission of Inquiry?
At the risk, of course, of exceeding the boundaries of decency, all I can say is I have great respect and admiration for Justice Zondo and his team. The commission started late, and obviously its delivery is a step behind the criminality that it's investigating. But I think it's doing well. Those who need to answer for their sins are going to answer for their sins. And the revelations so far are proving that what we scraped as the Pub Protector was the tip of the iceberg. And there's a lot that's happening now. And before you can cure a cancer, you need to diagnose it, which is what they're doing. And after that, you then need to scrape away the diseased cells, which is what holding people accountable will do. And thereafter, South Africa, as democracy, will be back on track.
Now, your state of capture report highlighted the improper relationship between the Guptas and the Zuma family. What we have seen in recent weeks was the alleged role that Bosasa played in state capture. Did this feature in your investigation? Did you come across a similar kind of allegations against Gavin Watson and his team?
There was a separate investigation on Bosasa that was reporting to the Pub Protector, but with the kinds of resources that are limited, it didn't proceed. But it didn't really go as deep as the State Capture Commission allegations are going. I must, though, clarify that the investigation on state capture was responding to specific allegations that the president's son, in collaboration with the Guptas, conspired to get rid of Minister Nene and to replace him with somebody who was compliant on their pursuit of capturing the state to get contracts and to get licenses and related things. And that's what happens. If there's a problem of robbery in the neighborhood and the court is told that house number 16 has been robbed, the court focuses on house number 16. Because there are people have, you know, complained that, oh, this also was happening. Why didn't you deal with that? This was happening. Well, that's not how the system works.
Yes.
You deal with the specific allegations. But if in that process of dealing with the specific allegations, you excavate other forms of evidence, you pull it and you include it in the report, and then you say, okay, this is an issue creep. I will start a separate investigation when I've finished with my mission.
Now, Justice Zondo has indicated that he needs about 2 years for this commission of inquiry. There is a concern being raised by some that in the interim, a lot of evidence can disappear. We heard from Angelo Agrizi and others about massive cleanups that allegedly took place at Bosasa. I've seen an interview where you are quoted as saying that if you had the resources, you would have completed the task quicker.
Well, as an investigator, I have a different methodology and different priorities, and I'm not going to cast aspersions on Judge Zondo's approach. I'm certain that whatever approach he has adopted, he knows what he's doing. But yes, it is important that you, when you're investigating, you take control of the scene of crime as fast as possible, because, yes, criminals... do make sure that they delete all tracks that lead you to the truth. And corruption is a crime, and state capture is a form of corruption, and therefore a crime, organized crime for that matter.
Many are calling for action beyond the commission of inquiry. There is a fear, it seems, in many quarters in our country that ultimately the perpetrators may be exposed in the form of a commission of inquiry, but they may not really face proportionate consequences. What are your thoughts on this concern?
No, I'm not concerned at all. If the state capture investigation comes up with concrete evidence on what went wrong, the new National Director of Public Prosecutions, Advocate Batohi, is a competent, intelligent and skilled person who will take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Another talking point, Advocate Madonsela, with regards to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry has been comments made by Zizi Kodwa, where he says that the ANC is not the party on trial at these commissions. How would you view that?
Well, I guess Mr. Kodwa has a right to say the truth is, those on trial are not necessarily the ANC as a party. Mm-hmm. It is senior members of the ANC. But it does appear that because those who are corrupt by everyone in the system and outside the system for insurance, a less than healthy number of people in the ANC seem to be implicated, and I hope for their own sake that they didn't voluntarily participate in the criminal syndicate, that they may have just received some assistance that they didn't realize was part of buying them into silence or into preventing the prosecution of the wrongdoers.
Now that you've been out of the office of the public protector for some time, and you've given us an indication early on as to what you have been occupied with, have you also had some extra time to think about what's happening in the country, to evaluate the state of the country and the situation that we are in currently? Can you share some of your thoughts with us in that regard?
Yes, certainly. I've had time to evaluate the state of our country, and I think that there's two major challenges that we face. One is the challenge of a strong state that is founded on integrity. And it would seem to me that we had a truth commission about crime. Mm-hmm. We never had a truth commission about commercial crime, about how the state of South Africa avoided sanctions and therefore built within it the ability to function illegally. We also didn't look at how the liberation movement may have established a way of avoiding legal structures and legal procedures as a way of surviving in a world that was built on injustice. And I think we needed to look at that to make sure then that the state that was already corrupt did not continue to fester in that kind of corruption. So that's the one part, the integrity within the state. What's emerging in the Zondo Commission is a sign that the tendencies to corrupt people within the state continued and new tendencies evolved. And we have a state that is built with so much pillars of justice and so many pillars of integrity, but seemingly the human factor was not ready to just do the right thing in some of the quarters within the state. That we will have to examine very thoroughly and deal with. How do we make sure that people do the right thing? How do we make sure that the prescripts that we put around fee income, etc., are functional? Why, for example, did the banks not see that people were withdrawing millions of rands? Why were not questions not asked when people were buying homes for cash, mm-hmm. when people were buying cars for cash? Because we built a system where people had to report those transactions. When us little people are withdrawing more than 10,000 rand, we are asked where that money is going to, and you've got to provide evidence that shows that you're going to use that money for a legitimate purpose. But it seems that here people turn a blind eye, and that's probably because of the perversion of justice that has happened in the past. And then the second thing is the issue of social justice.
Yes.
Without social justice, there can be no democracy. With extreme poverty that we have, where 64% of black people of African descent are poor, where 55% of average South Africans of all races are poor, unemployment officially is at over 30%, unofficially over 50%. Youth unemployment is one of the worst in the entire world. Mm-hmm. In that situation, democracy cannot thrive because people support the demagogues that say, with this seat that we're going to give you as Plato once said, all of your problems are going to be solved. So we need to solve social justice fast. Hence, we are busy with this M plan to say you can't leave it to government alone. All of us have to step up and play our role in advancing social justice.
Pertinent points indeed. Since you've left the Public Protector's Office, have you kept abreast of happenings and developments there? There has been a lot of criticism of your successor on a number of issues. Do you think the criticism is fair?
No, I haven't kept abreast of developments in my old office because they say you have to live life forward.
All right, and then finally, Advocate Morensela, you know, I mentioned early on in my introduction that the former British ambassador to South Africa, Robin Renwick, described you as the person who saved South Africa. How do you assess your own contribution whilst you served as public protector?
Well, I'm grateful to Robin Renwick, who hosted a dinner in my honor again last night. I think South Africa was saved by you and me and many others. All of us played different roles. We had a huge elephant to bite, and all of us took little pieces. My team took a bite at it. The media took a bite at it. Parliament, opposition parties, and people within the ANC took a bite of it. The corporate world played a role and civil society played a role, and ultimately people like Robin Renwick and other friends of South Africa played a role, particularly in subduing Bell Pottinger, which decided to take the social injustice that is a reality and use it as a way to sidetrack us, as a dead cat really, to sidetrack us from looking into state capture.
Advocate Thuli Madonsela, thank you so much for your time this morning and for joining us on Radio Islam International. We really appreciate it.
It's a privilege. Thank you.
Have a great day. Go well.